interrupting the current neo-Uranial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 505. And the way this is coming down, folks, you're going to have to be moving against the crickets because it doesn't look like they're moving too much at all. They like that warm summer afternoon. They think everything's fine. I saw a question, who's the biggest enemy of the American citizen? I guess it was the American citizen. I answered, the American citizen is the enemy of the American citizen. That's why. Because this thing was devolves onto the people. That's the democracy, if you will, the demos. And those people have to respond to encroachments, abuses against them. And if they don't, the people who are doing that take license to continue. I say that all the time. I don't know if people truly appreciate it and or they accept that's the case and don't do more. Oh, it's nothing I can do about it. But as I showed you or explained, whether or not I've shown it to people, I can't show it to people that don't want to see it or want to dismiss it. But this thing that's come down, this public health emergency, the fraud that they've perpetuated, gave us the insight on how each one of us can do what we need to do and the power if we were to step up. And then to find out that there was no government protecting you at all, and we were going to have to come up with a whole different view on what was going down. We keep saying we're going to have let someone else do it. No, this is not going to. These people have taken over this place, these criminals, globally now. I still can't believe that, but they did it. They are everywhere. Even if Klaus Schwab's a puppet, he said, we got our global leaders everywhere. They're in every parliament. And it sure looks like it. And I've been able to tell you over years, being someone who reads law, tried to put pieces together, and that started through looking at property, protecting our money claim, that I started to find out that there is a subversion. So I'm going to go through a little bit of that today on how long this is not. It's not just me. Someone else has come up with their study, a different track of study, and come to the same conclusions. Although I want you to listen very carefully on where the analysis starts to fall apart when you don't hold the facts together. You don't, in your mind, you don't keep track of what track you're on. And this becomes, again, important in the terms and the where a law is supposed to work and how it's supposed to work in jurisdiction, that funny word. Who has authority to determine and decide? The court has jurisdiction. They have the power to hear the issue and to review the issue and try the issue and then decide upon the issue. That's jurisdiction. That's a power. And so you look and track those powers too. Don't cross over from one to the next. You'll derail your thought. And I'm going to show you a little bit of that today. But getting back to a story I had before, started out in New Zealand. That story where the New Zealand court took custody of a sick baby whose parents refused vaccinated blood transfusion. That court took the custody and gave it to the state temporarily, they said, so that the baby would get the blood transfusions that were offered by the government and disregarded the pure blood, if you will, transfusions that donors were giving and available to give. And so I want to start there just to show you that this is not not inconsequential problem for y'all. And I don't, again, I say this with a void. I tremble a bit to tell people this stuff because I think it's fear-mongering or I'm trying to scare everybody. This is a reality. This is going on. Whether I can prove the causal effect is irrelevant to me when I hear this story. Newborn baby dies after blood transfusion. This was in Washington. We're entering into this broadcast discussing the ramifications, the consequence, and then moving into where this thing again started. A very important discussion came down, an interview, confirming, I'll just have you, for me, if you've been listening to me, confirm what I've been telling you in an independent way long before people are now finding it. I told you it would take 2.5 to 3 years before some of the truth would be coming out. There's other law readers that took it on themselves to find different courses of path that will explain maybe why this is going on. And it was done in a way that, again, perception management, it's a very professional attack, if you will. And there's more proof on a different track. And I want you to hear this. Again, be careful on buying into someone else's analysis, even mine. I hope you're proving it out, what I've been saying. I hope you're reading what I've been saying about where to read and what to see. And then keeping true to what you're seeing. Because that's all the only objective basis we have is what's written in black and white. And in this regard, no, I don't agree with the Mandela effect. that's an aberration of our memory, I believe, at this point. And we only have, even if it is an altered reality we're into now, we need to rely on the black and white that exists even so. And we're going to keep track of where that black and white is supposed to work and don't extend it beyond. And we're going to see someone else who has identified what has happened to us. And also, if you hear and I get to that point of being able to find it or discuss it, you'll see why I've been saying it's a question to the people, the law readers that are coming up with the interview. You're going to be hearing why you can't, they don't understand why you can't go to the federal court, why the federal court hasn't stopped this. This is all pointing to where our power is as people in face of this ominous thing, a public health emergency. And I told you it was the worst thing a society can face. And then globally, when we see, you hear me talk about NATO and the West and the United States attacking everywhere, and full spectrum dominance everywhere. It's hard to believe. What is the United States doing all that? All over the world on a mission that said you're going to limit your exposure to the, don't get into foreign entanglements. And that's all we seem to have done. And you should see how this is working and the interlocking global organization now that is there. I talk about it, but now we see more of the documents and we see more of how the future is coming to fold that in to be your new normal, that abuse, that tyranny. And I back to now analyzing, you have to do this yourself. Where are you going to hold your line? And is that going to be strong enough to be able to at least offer a neutrality to the problem coming against us? But newborn baby dies of blood transfusion. Sadly, a newborn baby died shortly after receiving a vaccinated blood transfusion. Your mind, if you haven't been listening to this story about what this so-called vaccinated blood transfusion thing is, you really have to slow up and stop looking at the media. Go start doing your own research. First of all, without getting too deep in this, I want to move on. There's no vaccination, folks. You're going to find out it is a bioweapon. The independent contractual research in law proves that it can't be. Everyone will say it's an experiment. You can find that it has to be. And again, we're back to using the terms and staying true to the words. But vaccinated blood transfusion, what happens, despite the appearance of arranging a directed donation, the hospital claimed that they were unable to locate the unvaccinated blood, and without parental consent, doctors gave the baby blood from the hospital's vaccinated stockpile. Well, the upshot of all that, the baby Alex was born with a congenital heart defect and needed surgery, and a close friend of the family recently passed away from a heart attack shortly after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine. This prompted the family to search for unvaccinated blood, which they found from a member of their local church. After going through the proper protocols of directed donation to ensure Alex had unvaccinated blood, the hospital claimed they were unable to locate the donated blood. They used blood from the hospital's supply without proper consent. The day after the transfusion, Alex developed a large blood clot in his knee. He was put on the highest dose of blood thinners. Unfortunately, the blood thinners were unsuccessful and the blood clot traveled to his heart, resulting in his death. To make things even worse, the parents are accusing hospital Sacred Hearts Children's Hospital in Spokane, Washington, of deleting records. So let me offer something here quickly. The blood clot, everyone keeps talking about a blood clot. It looks like something else. It doesn't. The blood clots are usually attached around the outside of whatever these things are that are seemingly assembling themselves. And so the blood thinner is the wrong way to go anyway. It's not a blood clot, actually. We talk about blood clots. Anyway, whatever all this is, despite all the extra work the mother and father did, the hospital decides to go on its own, and we have evidence of a problem now and a death of a baby because no one listens to you and cares. So I don't know what to do about this. You need the care that someone else is going to give you. Understand, you're putting your hands and your life in their hands. And all it is a sad story. And now you're going to be going after what? You get a lawsuit? And the culprits that did all this get away with it. And this is the other thing I want you to notice when we get to this interview. Very important interview. How they set it up, and you focus on the wrong parties and don't realize what's going on. So you're not going to attack the right thing, or you're not going to set up, if you will, the blockade that will stop anyone, not even the one, the front runners, not the puppets, but even the people behind running the show, is what I've been asking you to start looking for, and what I do to explain to you where we need to go until I get better evidence to show that that's wrong, and or as I said, they're moving the goalposts on us as we speak already. And you're going to have, I hope you feel this way. You will have to understand that and understand how to even stop that moved goalpost. They did it when they, you saw some of it happening. You saw that they're capable when they started changing the definitions every day. That's how they move that goalpost. And so you have to find a remedy, a relief, an objective basis that doesn't care about what the other side does and are supposed to look at what is supposed to happen in the black and white. And that's what I keep focusing people on. So this blood clot, oh, this is not causal. Well, okay, we got it pretty close. If I can't prove causality, I still have a dead baby. And the organization, the licensee, the corporation, and Sacred Heart, is, I mean, they really do care about little ones. That's my understanding that they do well. That's changing, though, here in the last few years as well. But they're not known to really intentionally go after. But look what happens here. The lie that goes on. Sacred Heart of all the people. Well, they're Catholic. Is that Catholic? Religion? You see that there's not even a break in the religion. There's no protection in a jurisdiction of the religions, in the church. No, they're a corporation. And this is why you start seeing, when you start looking at like tax law, the religions can't speak in politics. That's the first notion, the notice to us, that they're not separate. The churches are no longer separate from the government in its regulation. But anyway, getting back to this blood clotting, we see Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine linked to blood clotting, and this may be coming from the FDA. I'm starting to say may because everyone wants to, you know, the FDA will deny and this and that and the other, and you have to make your own analysis and then just gas. I'll use the word, the new word for 2022 is gaslight you. Oh, yeah, last year, isn't it? Wow. Pfizer COVID vaccine has been linked to blood clotting in older individuals, according to the U.S. Food Drug Administration. The FDA research is crunching data from the database of elderly persons in the United States, found the pulmonary embolism, blood clotting that forms in the body and winds up blocking of blood flow to the lungs, met the initial threshold for a statistical signal and continued meeting the criteria after more in-depth evaluation. I could read more. The point is if they're not looking for it, they have to be, you've got to pull down the little blindfold that they're wearing in order for them to see a peak, and then maybe they look at it. They're not looking for these harms. You're going to hear why they don't have to. It's what I've been telling you about what's going on. They really don't have to. These are not vaccines. These are, you know, authorized, not approved, but authorized, and they went through a special channel. And if you follow the money, you follow the contractual side, you start to find out what these things are and that the who you might think is culpable are not. And this is what I've been trying to tell you. Be careful on what you think is going on, but that what you think you know isn't so. It can be very difficult to track some of this stuff, especially if it's a military op and it's clandestine moving in through this. So we have elderly gets clots. Well, they're not talking about that baby, are they? No, but if we go back to the mechanism that's going on, we see that it's going to be the bioweapon is one that causes blood clotting. It also causes bleed out. It causes all kinds of things. It targets the weak links in your body. Comorbidities, remember that term? Yeah, that's what's coming out of your immunological systems. They should not have had that operation anyway. They should have just postponed it. And then we should have had an audit on why they lost blood. I mean, is that what your donations for blood are being lost all the time too? But no, getting back to this, blood clots are being found, so-called statistically. This is all from forcing the situation and people looking in. It's all, if you have to understand this, these numbers are all fabricated. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what they got. Nobody knows how to test for it. We do have an interesting insight on what they can test for. Has nothing to do with the PCR. Has nothing to do with the science and the tests and reagents. None of that. Why? Because these are constructs. I told you these are constructs in the lab. They know what they're putting together. And they know how to identify them molecularly. But let's move over here. Blood clotting. Okay. Fantastic. I don't know about not causal. Now the FDA is saying the study links Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine with blood clotting, panic, and social media after the report. This article I was kind of interested in. They almost sound, they're neutral to the fact of the panic, but they don't discuss it. And I find this an interesting turn and change in the reporting of this. They just lay out the question, maybe the panic was unwarranted. People responded to this report. It's not denied by this article. But it seems to be thrown out there, and we leave it to the mind of the people to put value on whether or not it's legitimate, a legitimate concern. Pharma, P's are silent, excuse me. Giant Pfizer, see the P's are silent, P-F-I-Z-E-R, the P is silent. Pfizer was trending on social media with FDA link study linking the COVID-19 vaccine with blood clotting in older individuals. The study titled Surveillance of COVID-19 Vaccine Safety Among Elderly Persons Aged 65 and Older was published by the journal Vaccine earlier this month. They go in and they said the study was jointly conducted by the researchers of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, Acumen LLC, Department of Economics, Stanford University, and the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. The Epoch Times reported that from the database of elderly persons in the United States found the pulmonary embolism, blood clotting in the lungs, met the initial threshold. So this is reported. And we talk about Dr. Peter McCullough responding and it's saying that it corroborates these concerns of doctors that a large uptick in blood clots, progression of atherosclerotic heart disease and blood disorders independently associated with COVID-19 vaccination. Now, we use the COVID vaccination there. It's not wrong because that's what the people thought they were getting. You can say it that way. You can't say that there is a vaccine, that they got vaccinated. And we do that not because of our opinion. We do that not on the federal definitions. We do that relative to the local state law that says a vaccine has two things it must do, and these juices don't do either. They don't do any of that at all. But stopping here just to corroborate a report I found interesting. It neutralizes the condition, and it puts it on the reader to decide whether those fears are legitimate. Very interesting tactic here. Just want you to observe it. As we also find out now, moving into another three-letter agency, it sounds like they need to be abolished. I think we've seen that the three-letter agencies do not serve the people, cannot serve the people, have no intention to serve the people, and all this needs to be abolished. And the people have the right to alter or abolish as they see fit. You may have to go through your representative, put them back in their respective jurisdictions, and say, you failed, you're moved over, you resign, or we go after you as well. We don't listen to you. Whatever it is we're going to have to do, I don't know what it was. We can say defund, but these agencies need to stop, go away. How you get rid of a senator or a congressman, there's a way to do that as far as your legalities. Whether or not you can, I don't know. It's a civil war. If you haven't figured it out, they've got the society divided, no different than they had the North and the South. And the United States government, that's supposed to be the neutral party to that organization, stepped in on one side, if you see what happened in the more perfect union. So they split the government, and the United States government itself jumped in on one side to bring its forces, and it essentially took all the money that the states paid it, or how they appropriated it then, and warred against the other half. And you're watching that happen, but we're not in a war. They've made war transparent to us. And that was what part of the more perfect union condition. But CDC now, moving from the FDA to the CDC, U.S. life expectancy falls for a second straight year. It hits a 25-year low. You'll read in this report, this decline starts in 2021. Well, it's exactly corollary, though they won't, with the institution at warp speed of an injection. In other words, for everybody that says that they suffered COVID-19 or COVID, I can tell you right off the bat, they don't know. They haven't read. They haven't paid special attention. They don't understand that COVID is common cold. COVID-19 was a euphemism for the seasonal flu, neither one of which has a vaccine to start with, but it was not either one. This was a setup. It was to set your mind up. They primed us before 9/11, and then they kicked it in with 9/11, as I told you, in December 31st. 3 years ago, the anniversary date, 3 years ago, December 31st in 2019. I told you it's coming to fulfill and further, if not finish, what they started in 9/11. It was primed by a medical condition. Remember, back then, we're going there in a moment. The report here is based on a collected data of American death certificates tracked by the CDC, the National Center for Health Statistics, and affirms the declining rates from August. Right after they started that jab, I told you that was the agent of contagion, the jab. I explained all that. I explained how that was going to happen. Then I explained how they could use the clinical test to find what they invented. And so it played right out just like that. I hope folks are paying attention. You need to see how this works. You need to see that it's anticipated. And then you need to be able to place yourself outside of their reach, even though they're going to claim that reach. You're going to have to show how their hands don't reach you, their agencies can't. It's nothing but abject crime against you, and hopefully there's enough people looking around, and we're all helping each other at that time. We didn't do it now. help, we can help each other to make sure that the hands are off of those that haven't consented. See, my whole view on this is the people have consented to this. This is not a, everyone wants to comment that these, we were forced as a society to do this. And I'm suggesting to you that did not, there's no forcing at all. Those of you that resisted, just resisted out of what your thoughts were, and properly so, some didn't. Those that were taken were not forced. I want you to understand how this works. It's kind of opposite what most people think. Like, there was a discussion in the Twitter, I can't remember, Tragedy and Hope sent out, they were compliance, they were made to comply, touching on the behavioral thing. I said, no, the compliance wasn't the people complying, getting them to comply. It was the failure of the officials to comply. So you're right, it's compliance, but it's not what you think. The kind of compliance that was required did not happen, and no one insisted upon the black and white compliance. No, they consented to be harmed. You have to understand how this works. If you don't, you don't see how they're really immunized. These folks are kind of immunized here. And we're going to see, as we saw, we see lots of court cases that fail on their face. And I can explain to you how I have. But this data tracking is showing exactly what I predicted would happen when they instituted the juice. They will not allow the causal connection. But anybody with a thinking mind who is facing to make that decision for them or their little ones or their friends, you can't disregard this connection. In particular, when you understand the source of this, let me go back to this, the sustainable source. When you understand the precautionary principle that they apply, you wouldn't touch this stuff with a 100-mile pole. You wouldn't poke it with a 100-mile pole. This stuff, on a precautionary principle, should never even made it even to the news. But you see, it's a double standard. They only use a precautionary principle when they want to defeat you. You don't understand you can use it seriously. You just apply it to you. And if you knew your due process rights, that's there for you to do. In other words, we're back to the fact that local communicable disease law provides that the local health official that you have, your doctor, has the jurisdiction over your care, but it's not to the only to his tyranny. You agree to that. The health official of the state, of the government, looks in if you are one who is reported, and there is an objective basis that says that you are carrying an infectious agent, can suggest to the doctor what that agency needs in its job to contain what they call prevent and control the spread within the jurisdiction. There's no time in this process, if you apply it, that anybody has a tyrannical power. Until you get to the point when you're identified as being someone who's so recalcitrant that you want to hurt people, but with your infection that they've shown and proven in its objective and real science, excuse me, it can't be science, it's real tests, science is the question, then you don't want to be part of the solution of a real transmissible thing, then they can do the quarantine. They just keep you away. But that's about the limit of it. See, how far did we go that people allowed it? But moving in back through here, I want to get to now a different interview, and thank you for sending this to me. I'm going to kind of do it backwards from how I got it. I got the Lou Rockwell story first, and then I got the interview link to go to. I'm going to touch some bases on the interview link. You can read it. Again, my bandwidth doesn't allow me to see too many videos. I watch very carefully on that, so I have to do a lot more reading now. But I want to go through something, an analysis that a law reader, I'll say, Catherine Watts, did. I just want you to consider, as I'm going through some of these, and when you, I hope you go and read this, what I've been saying all along. My track of analysis was not through the contracts. My track starts in Title 50. My track starts in the law, the due process, the requirements of the law, jurisdictional bases, what is supposed to happen, keeping those bubbles of a jurisdiction separate, looking for crossovers that are not supposed to be there. When they crossovers happen, go look inside a jurisdiction and see how did someone plausibly make that okay when it wasn't ever supposed to be okay. Now I'm speaking to those of you that may have seen your rules promulgated underneath this thing where they allowed the foreign interest, foreign so-called expert to be a medical expert in the jurisdiction. That's all completely promulgated illegally. Okay, so that's what's coming up as well. It's already in the statutes, but I'm telling you that's how this goes on. That's my track. I went through what the law required or what should have required. Police power, what's the predicates for that? That it never happened. Being able to tell you that you can't have a presumptive emergency. Well, Catherine Watts goes through the contractual side. She's interested in some of this because of things that didn't make sense to her. She wrote an article back in April 2022. That was the same year, just this last year. You get that? This last year. I got to remember to change these dates. She wrote an analysis called American Domestic Terrorism Program, the ADTP, excuse me, and her Substack with an ongoing update. So you might want to check this out when you get this link. I'm just going to read a couple of things through this interview that she did and where she went through and what she found. And I want you to, as you read through this, I'm not going to read through it myself here. I'm just going to touch some things that are important. Listen for what I was telling you myself without aid of this condition. And then as I went through the patents and all that other stuff, I went that direction. I exposed what I exposed, and then I want you to compare what she found, going through a totally different track. And this is where I tell you, when we, a long time back, we're looking at the stinking abyss, eventually you're going to find people standing there shoulder to shoulder with the work, the path they got there, got them to the same stinking abyss. It doesn't matter how you tracked in on it, you're going to be standing there looking at this big stinking abyss. And that's what we're facing. She found it too, I believe. You know, I'll let you be the comparator of that. And to what extent? So, not to be critical. I want you to pay attention as you read the article, what you've heard me say. But be careful, and I'll point out a couple things on what happens here. How you get your mind into agreeing, even though you see it's no good, you agree that there's a power that I have suggested it may not be. And you're going to have to analyze for that. I guess the initial problem here is they make this a pervasive over-authority over the whole nation. This is where we get to the jurisdiction. Is the health authority reserved to Congress in Washington, D.C.? And the answer there, for the quick answer here, the answer is no, it's not. And it's been reserved to the states, hasn't it? So anything that happens at the Title 42 level, that's the municipal law too there. Now, that's been expanded across the country, but it's actually not prevailing. So in this, when I go through this, listen carefully on how much power they give to the federal, but always remember, your local state had the exclusive power. So it only goes so far. And when you start seeing that, and you start seeing the limit on your local communicable disease law, you'll see what I'm telling you, I think, where I was saying, be careful not to lull yourself into a power that's not, it doesn't exist in some entity here now, and apply it to yourself without your own protections. And they're going to do it in a couple of ways. I'm not going to go through all the ways. I'm going to go through a couple. But let me set this up for us. It's really an interesting interview, what she's done. I commend Catherine Watt for her analysis. Amazing type work here. But even with this work, we see what I've been saying. Like, why did I come in here with the military operation, Operation Hindsight 2020, folks, 2019. I mean, it's just, you'll just see. We're standing, Catherine and I are standing shoulder to shoulder at the stinking abyss. We came through different paths to get here. I think she's found very much what I've done. I want us to understand that that's not the limit, though. Inside this interview is a view of how we fail ourselves in giving too much credit for what we read and then causing mental hiccups, if you will, that keep us trapped a little bit and or cause us to not consider further. And that's really the bigger problem for me on this thing. We're not considering, the interview doesn't consider further. Interestingly, we get to the end, she agrees. When she read this, our defense is local. And so at the end of this article, you're going to see, she's going to offer some websites where they've offered forms. For those of you that like forms, I would caution you, I didn't look at any of them, I would caution you against them if you're not going to add your protection at your state law level that they offer. You really have to analyze what other people do. This is not their work for you. You need to make your own. You may take a lead for it, but they even offer that your answer is local. And so even though it seems a little murky to me how they got there, and they are in their document description by title, they're not quite clearly on what they really need to be. As you read this, again, you're going to, as you understand more what's going on, you start to realize our protection is local. It isn't at the federal level. It's not going to be by the federal anything. It's not even at the state level, except for yourself, that you defend yourself against even your own official who what? Breached the communicable disease law by not doing the delegated duties to that official, and the governors didn't either. Moving into this article now. Finally, I'm going to just read through some stuff just to identify some things to show you some context and how long this has been going on. I keep telling you this as well. I hope you hear all the consistencies of what I've ever been saying. I was reading it through, and wow, I don't know, she hasn't really missed anything from what I understood, how I could come to this without perfectly telling you how we're going to get here. She's got more of the dots to connect. And we read here the setup and the framework for this American domestic terrorism program that she has on her website. A whole lot of things that once were federal and state crimes and civil rights violations have been legalized by Congress through legislative statutory revisions to the United States Code, signed by U.S. presidents, and implemented at the administrative regulatory level by the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Defense through Code of Federal Regulation. You know I want to say a whole lot right there, but I'm going to continue. I think the critical decay began in 1983 when the Public Health Emergencies, quote, Public Health Emergencies section was added to the 1944 Public Health Service Act, although the 1944 PHSA itself represented an additional militarization of human medicine in the United States. Most of the worst laws have been passed since 2000. Now, let's put this in context here. I'm going to interject, and she says it right next, in context of what happened right after 2000 in 2001. Just before 9/11 and the United States Department of Defense false flag anthrax attacks. Now, that's not supported, that statement, but I can just tell you, looking back now, hindsight 2020, if we didn't know, we look back, we can see the anthrax was a setup to soften up the population to allow what happened at 9/11 and allow that fraud to move forward and to see whether or not people would stand up against for themselves, and they didn't. But we start out this thing and moving into the softening up of the population in a medical condition. They are listed below in the links here, the full text of each law and the short summary of what I understand about how each one fits in the overall scheme. And this is the if you will, genius of her research. She's showing you the organizational structure, not only the organizational structure, but the funds, part of the funding issues and how they all set it up. These people, this is premeditated. You see the premeditated nature of this. This just didn't happen, folks. They had to think through from real legal avoidances that they had to be careful of. And that's how I started to see these avoidances started to create the anomalies that I said, wait, that's going to go somewhere and we don't want to go there. And we're going to have to figure out how to stop it. But my interjection here, we're moving on to the statement. In other words, they say here, Congress and the United States legalized and funded the overthrow of the Constitution, the United States government, and the American people through a massive domestic bioterrorism program relabeled as a public health program conducted by the HHS Secretary and Secretary of Defense on behalf of the World Health Organization and its financial backers. That is a summary to what you're going to find, and you have to go through the proof to prove it all. We could all say, oh, yeah, 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 you've heard me talk all about that. I didn't have aid of her work, and I still talked about that. Correct, folks? You yourself may have done the research to find those connections. If you were guided by what I said and did that research, you saw the connections. So this is, again, consistent, if nothing else. Let me touch a bit on this. That there was an overthrow of the United States Constitution. You could say that, but I suggested to you it didn't overthrow your power to say no. And that's where I'm not so sure it does overthrow that Constitution. That part didn't get tossed out. That part's still there. It was whether or not you were going to exercise it. What I would say and point out to you, if you were going to make a comment through into the future, and you do the work here if you want to be able to say these words, not just say them, but actually know that they need to be said. And this phrase, through a massive domestic bioterrorism program relabeled as a public health program, is exactly what I told you back in starting into 2019, moving into January, and then starting to explain it better until we got to March when we started actually saw the name of it all, that they were going down that track. I want you to see when they say they're relabeled, you want to add that this was a massive bioterrorism program under color of a valid public health program. The under color statement is the statement of a fraud. You don't just relabeled as a softening. This is a fraudulent cover under the auspices of a legitimate public health program. You need to tie that together. that it was a bioterrorism program that was under color, fraudulently represented as a legitimate public health program. And when you, if you heard what I just said there and apply it, you know why I went immediately when I saw when they were declaring this thing to be a presumptive pandemic. That's where I keyed. This is presumptive is under color. Okay, so we just to show you how you can take the information and use it, you just don't read it and you just don't say I have rights. You have to say find the right that's delineated that they'll observe that you have had materially interfered with. That's your job. I have constitutional rights. They say, okay, fine. No, you got to come and bring the one that you have or maybe the two, whatever, which ones you have infringed. In this case, this was that you have to state the whole in short sentence. We have a condition that was purported, a narrative that came under color of a public health program is the statement of fraud. Then you delineate how that would possibly be. But going back over here to the discussion, more importantly for what Catherine Watt has done to go through showing us the organizational structure on how this was pulled off. It's quite, again, quite fascinating how the premeditation of this, on knowing what these folks had to avoid, the Department of Defense, all the players inside, the groups they had to create that were not connected so well. There's not many pass-throughs to show direct connection so that they can't be hit by different facets of what they should not have done is impressive here. And I told you these were really well done. We are up against experts, if you will. I mean, the professionals here that do this war for real. This is their job. This is their life. This is their calling. We're up against that. And this went global. Every time I say that, I can't get this. How did that happen? And I can only say the American public has allowed it. And she identifies going through this. She started to go in on this and found the reading and analyzing the reports of statutes and regulations passed by the U.S. Congress and executive orders and the legislation signed by U.S. presidents implemented by U.S. United States Health and Human Services Secretaries and Secretary of Defense, mostly since 1983, again, the judicial decisions by the federal and state courts as criminal acts of treason that built the legal foundation of the unconstitutional democide American public health police state was being deployed fully for the first time January 31st, 2020. And this is what I go back to what I said right before that. I said this is what we're coming. They deployed it. They had set it all up, as I've told you, they've done all this metastasis cancer in our country. It's the laws have already been sitting there. You hear from 1983. It goes before that. In fact, you see that they had started adjusting things in 1944. This is consider the minds that have to carry this through generations that's going on here as well. Consider all this literally now. Put it in play. What had to happen? And it's mind-boggling that they got it here and they deployed it. She recognized they deployed it in January 31st, 2020. Go back to my broadcast, the archives, and you hear me talking as in the buildup. And I have to tell you, I'm not I don't walk around thinking like I can predict the future, like I'm a prophet. I am very hesitant to say stuff I see for lots of reasons. Mainly, people don't get fear. There's no proof, this, that, and the other. But to give information, not as a prediction, as a hear it, watch it come, here it comes. But you can look back and say it was a prediction. Well, it wasn't so much a prediction, because it just came out of the sky. No, this documentation was there to see, and if you read enough, you start to pick up on it. It's just this thing you get. Okay, so I encourage you a bit. I know the reading is dry. I know it's overwhelming. But this stuff has been laid out for us to see, and everybody was put under the duty to know it. I don't care. I know it's overwhelming, but that's the duty. We had to be a citizen that had the obligation and duty to know the law and call out crime and all this other stuff, and then the obligation of the people to alter and abolish when the crime went bad and became the government. They're using all that against us. As I say, you don't have an excuse to not act. You don't have an excuse to be overwhelmed or not know enough. They're already moving on what you're supposed to know. But okay, move back into here. She explains how she did the legal research. She explains who she keyed in on and who she's worked with as well. And it's some of the people, a lot of the people I criticize, the attorneys, that they don't quite get it. You'll see maybe why. She actually does the analysis for those people, but I think I see why they don't make the connection to the local law as quickly as they should or at all. and they think that they can fight the federal side. And it's where the mistake happens, because you can't fight the federal side. She shows me even deeper why you can't fight the federal side. Not yet. You might get them on an accessory thing, but you have to establish what they're an accessory to. And I don't even know if there's a tangible connection to that. We might be able to see some misappropriations, but I'm talking to a bunch of listeners who have no power in that regard, because it all goes to your representatives. And you're watching how that's not going to make any difference. You're going to, as I get to the point here, I'm already talking way longer than I should have for some of this. You're going to see how they want to put new laws to give the Senate the power to move the HHO treaty through, but has to be Senate approved. Well, you just watched the Democrats gain the Senate. So that wasn't a good law. That law that, I'm anticipating something ahead of you I haven't talked about, but that law that they proposed to be a law actually hands the Democrats the ability to bring in this nonsense. It'll still be invalid, but no one knows it. No one but except yours truly behind the woodshed. My listeners, partially. And I say that because I haven't seen anybody pulling it all together and actually, not just the knowledge, I'm talking apply. At being able to move forward quickly and put your stuff together to make it a viable condition of protection a bit. At least cause the question. And I'm seeing, talk about crickets, it's a void. I think I haven't, on the Twitter, put in some information. The absence of response to the truth, the fact, and the law, and the reality is deafening. The silence is deafening. And thank you to some of you Twitter followers, or whoever you are that are seeing what I put out, and advancing it on with the retweet and all that stuff. I'm trying to explain to people what they need to be focused on. And I'm not talking about all the Twitter people. I'm talking the people who make the assertions that look like they're some kind of an authority that think they have a say. And I point out, wait a minute, you got to look at this thing here. You didn't quite get it. No response, folks. And if that's the future, we're in some trouble relative to getting this hierarchy shifted. If it's possible, I don't know. That's why I say I decided our best protection, your best protection is at home. Right where you sit, right where your state is, start to do what you need to do, get involved with other people. Not to say they don't have a power. You show where they haven't fulfilled the statute first. Show it's a show cause demand is really what it is. Not a non-compliance. You're not compliant or not avoiding anything until they show cause how they fulfilled the law. Moving on through this, she explains who she is, where she comes from, Catherine Watt, about how she comes along. She's just someone who had an interest, who started to see anomalies, who started digging in. And she heard the anomalies starting at about 2020, and that's what got her interested to dive in and start looking around. And she decided to go through January 2020, got it enough. She got enough uncomfortable and when she heard a podcast, she heard them talk about the 2005 International Health Regulation. And so that starts to give her orientation that this was going through the World Health Organization and not internally, as I've talked about the International Health Regulation. And what you won't hear in this discussion is what I told you sits in that health regulation of 2005, which is the anchor for you going forward, if you will, moving into protecting yourself. That she talks about that. They put it together. It used to be called the International Sanitary Regulations, and they changed the name, and that was done back in the 50s. Then it's been updated since. So here we know that there were cholera, all these diseases, polio, they're all hygiene, sanitation. And that was proper. But that shows you the focus was supposed to be the government putting in infrastructure to eliminate the lack of sanitation, garbage collection and all that stuff. Yeah, we're not clean animals, so we have to have systems that figure it out for us, apparently. So that was the focus on sanitation. If you look at your communicable disease law, it's in the same sections of law of sanitation. And they slowly started to pull it out. But it's been going on since the 50s and moving through. In the 2005 version then, they added a whole lot more surveillance power, enforced treatment powers, and other things that the World Health Organization wanted the national governments to put into place through their own statutes and their own regulations and through their state-level statutes and regulations. There. You hear it, folks? That's a suggestion from the international non-governmental agency that you put the gun to your head and pull the trigger. put their gun to your head and you pulled the trigger. And some of the states did this, is I guess the point I want to point out here, where they say that a CDC or the WHO is considered a medical expert for purposes of epidemic and outbreak. That's a violation of your legislature's intent. Now, that's going to change, too. The legislature is going to be claiming that they changed it to include a pandemic and that they do have authorization. That's legal. That goes into the law. That's very dangerous for us. So the goalpost has already been shifting, and I told you that that was happening when they got everyone, when they found out no one would respond properly. If the public doesn't know, then they're not going to know that, again, we're back into the clueless condition. You're in the worst situation you could be. You don't even know you're being violated. Well, you don't like it. It's uncomfortable, but you don't know that they're actually abusing you. Moving in through this last little bit here on the paragraph, after I heard, this is Catherine Watts, after I heard the podcast, I went looking for sources of what he talked about, and then I started pulling on the threads and unraveled how they put it all together from, well, they started long before 2005, but things really ramped up in the 2000s, and then they got rolled out the fullest form so far in January 2020. Wholly consistent with what I was telling you. Back through this, and the people that she heard was Todd Callender and Dr. Elizabeth Leet's show, Truth for Health. So this is how her course was, how she was inspired, got her on the focus. And this, Catherine Watts, actually her name was all my friend, her name was Catherine as well. This is a lady, if she's like my friend, watch out. They get on they tear through this stuff and they get an understanding of what's going on. So I just realized that first names were the same as well. And I can appreciate the work she did to get where she was and the understanding she's gained in the path she took. But you'll hear they don't recognize anywhere here that the WHO has no real authority, but they do acknowledge, and they forget a little bit about this, that they had to get the states to do this. Remember, the reservation in the 2005 in the United States reservation, there was two, was one was Iran and one the United States, was that because of the way the United States is organized in its federal and state creation, organic establishment, the federal government had no power over health issues, and that would be part of the state. You see that she figured out that they knew they had to go to the state level regulation. I'm telling you, if by now, if they're not already been changed, they will be. And I've already been in the state that they were. In fact, we put it right in that lawsuit. And the judiciary looked right past the state judiciary looked right past it because they were part and parcel to the crime against you. A wholly different problem now. We really are in a bad way. That doesn't mean that each one of us doesn't have the right to resist in the right way and put the authorities down. And so we're not subject to all this cancel culture, cancel law, cancel this, cancel that, cancel rights. We assert them anyway. At best, I've seen that neutralizes the problem against you. So, again, I'm just reading through an interview here where she goes through this form. It's very important to see that there is a way, first of all, to see the laws and the conditions set us up can be set up in a way that someone did so. They set up this infrastructure inside the code. There was people working to make laws that allowed them. There's people that made provisions that allowed them to move aside the law and make avenues sideways to what you would think would have been a normal appropriations. She mentions this thing, and this is where I started to see the disconnect relative to the federal not having any power, even though they recognize that the federal international influence is going to have to be brought into the states, and I'll say it does, and it is. That's what you have to also pick out. But before that, they have to have what is their jurisdiction and power to do what they do at the state level, which is what I told you to attack immediately long before this thing started. She identifies something, and I think she's made, again, a misconnect, not to degrade what she's done. This is perfect analysis. What I want you to say is be careful you don't get stunted by that analysis and not think through, if something says this, what does that mean at the state level relative to the requirements? Work through what you read to see whether or not there's going to be a failure. And that's how what I do, and that's what I'm asking you all to do. She says, Catherine Watts, an answer to a question about this condition. And what's inside these sections? What did they do in the federal code? Remember, Title 42 is municipal law for Washington, the District of Columbia, Washington. Title 42 is municipal law. You really got to get this. It's fascinating what they've really done and what people absorb. But Catherine responds through this Title 42 relative to this these communicable disease, but she identifies something new. Remember, they started making up terms. They started calling us names. They started to make it sound like they had an authority to do so. And she identifies a bit of this as well. And she says, relative to this over-dramatizing the condition that causes the death and harm of people, she says, she writes and states in the interview, before you even have symptoms is super and super important in the direction that these folks went that you saw, that what I called the asymptomat. They invented a status. Because they came up with the term asymptomatic, and they also, I just found the other day in the Health and Human Services regulation, a term called pre-communicable. That's even more than asymptomatic. It's before communicable. And they put that in the USC Title 42 Part G Quarantine and Inspection Section 264 regulation to control communicable diseases, as this is a thing that they were going to try to keep track of, so that if it's even in just the pre-communicable stage, we can still quarantine people. Okay, so that was her statement. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. But look at the logic failure there. Not as applied at federal municipal law, but at state law. If you've read your local communicable disease law for communicable disease, the term pre-communicable cannot even be in that code, because you have to have communicable before their jurisdiction and authority starts. If you see that, I'm showing you how she moves into the fact that they're going to, the federal government's going to be able to quarantine things on presumption. That's not how that actually works. She identifies the word as a problem, but she doesn't identify and state, and never does, the application of that at the state level. I want you to know about it. I don't know how it ends up working out for anyone, if it even comes further. I suppose it's going to. This is really rolling out. They did well for themselves, and we didn't stop it. But no different than the asymptomat, which I guess you can walk around without symptoms for some things. They understand that. For this, they can't, though. But pre-communicable, like pre-crime, pre-communicable cannot be communicable. Really simple. It cannot be in the state. It cannot be applied to a state where they have a communicable disease. The presumption of communication is not the communication. And so I want you to start paying attention. She says that that hands them the ability to track you before and quarantine you. Even Washington, D.C.'s health code, the commercial communicable disease code, yeah, commercial code, communicable disease code, does not provide for this. Even if they change and go to pre-communicable, there still has to be a communicable disease. Otherwise, you might as well just throw out the communicable disease law. If you follow the logic here, this is term specific. Pre-communicable to me is no different than presumptive health emergency. It doesn't exist yet. It doesn't exist underneath the authority. It's not a police power they can wield. You can't have a power that's on a disaster or whatever term they use for that on something that's pre that. And so I want to show you, she's dead on to find it, but I think it traps her and the communication here, the interview, in that you believe, because it's under quarantine inspection, the federal health and human services regulation applies. Now, I have to guess a little bit of a caveat. The states have applied the federal. And so you got to watch that, but that can be broken down. That's a funding thing as well. That can be found to be the antithesis of the expectation of due process for you in the state, and they're to that extent invalid. So don't, they have severability here, I guess, all this stuff that can come up. You can challenge the severability, the severable part, and they couldn't extend pre-communicable to you where there's a requirement to have an infectious agent. See, pre-communicable presupposes that also an infectious agent exists that they haven't shown, and part of the local law requires that they demonstrate that. Why I've said they have not demonstrated a non-fraudulent infectious agent. Police power would say you have to have a non-fraudulent exigency. All right, same frame, same thing. So, identifies it perfect to identify. She shows you how they changed it. She shows you where to go read. She brings up this term, but then she doesn't apply, and the interview does not apply that to state application in function. And I think they go off a little bit here to give too much credit now to these federal authorities and these World Health Organization authorities, which also then we stop discussing those things that might be done, which I wanted to explain a bit here. There's actually quite a bit that we can go through. You go line by line on this. Fascinating stuff that she's found out. You've got the organization now. Then we move to the interview that we do have. It was the DOD and how they did apparent circumvention for the money side and the contractual side, which in the contracts shifts everything from what you or we, I would have thought would be a vaccine to something that doesn't even approach the vaccine. So when you and I looked and they did the listened to the narrative, they had a functional condition going on with Pfizer Labs making the products, shipping it out. The contracts didn't allow for any of that. None of that happened. We agreed into a narrative. Now, you know, I say we, but you know the guy behind the woodshed didn't. Before it started happening, he wasn't. I hope you were too in the same way. Not just that you knew, oh, there was something wrong. No, you have to delineate how it went down wrong. For you, I accelerated that point to say, look at your local communicable disease law. Make sure they're following at least these steps. Typically, there's 5. I've seen states that go to 15, which is actually better because there's 10 more steps they have to do, and they don't. They didn't, not even close. And so we have a way to get back at this. She comes to the point when she started looking at the organization, that she starts to look at how the DOD had these things identified called other transaction agreements within the Congress allowing it. And they put Pfizer on something called a contract called an other transaction authority, an OTA contact. Her study shows how they move this thing over and into a way that you can't really see who's doing what unless you see the contract. And when you read really, really close, you find out you can't get them directly because they were never doing what you heard they were doing. She identifies through this, in fact, and they did this again, they called it, it wasn't a Pfizer product that they made. It wasn't the juice jab wasn't a thing that was in the market. It was never defined as that. The EUA is not even on a product. And she identifies how that is. And this is the interesting part of all this. First of all, that the DOD was involved, that I told you was involved, the extension of 9/11, the tightening down. The plan was to tighten us down 20 years later, how long these people worked. But it's done through this thing, I say the word novel means patent. I tell you that patently there is no the virus. No, because it's a construct in the lab. They're not natural. That firstly can't be a vaccine in state law because there's nothing organic involved. Then it was a construction of proteins, not even a thing from a genetic source. It was just a construction of proteins that creates what we believe to be a string of DNA. Right? This is all a construct from the beginning. That CDC has the first patent on the first SARS-CoV-2. She goes through and found all this stuff, and what they do in the contracts is they tell Pfizer, who cannot produce the amount that they're going to need, understand how much product they needed immediately. They could not do it. What they were contracted to, and how she picked up on this, was listening to a court case, someone suing against this fraud, and sued Pfizer, and Pfizer came back and said, no, we're not at liable. We did what we were contracted to do. We weren't contracted to make a vaccine. We weren't contracted to produce it in the volumes. We were contracted through this contract over here, the DOD, to make a prototype and demonstrate a prototype. Remember I was talking about a demonstration of a non-fraudulent agency? Well, they all did demonstrate a fiction, demonstrate a prototype, didn't have a parameter. Four, though, she also, Catherine Watt also identifies, because they went down that track, there is no need for a safety requirement. So all everybody that I've been telling, don't argue safety because it's irrelevant. These things are not what they are to even be there at all to be deciding. Inside the contracts, Pfizer had no safety requirement. Whatever they were doing for safety was a cover for you to make you believe you that agreed with it, you that might have believed in it. Even you that denied that it was real, that was all for our consumption, the consumer side. Whether we agreed or not, that was just a show. And this is what's important about going through what Catherine does. She shows how that's the truth. factually, black and white, contracts, the money was spent for certain things and not other things. This is where the DOD kind of somehow, I don't think they actually do, this will be a deeper analysis, they try to side shift this whole thing, and they spent money on prototypes. And what she also identifies is that who had the capacity was apparently other labs and universities. Think about that one, universities. The university system is a hub that I told you in 2013 that they were an agent of the government to subvert our Republican form representative government through sustainable governance. We sued that. They agreed. Default. The university system is back inside there. They were part of that. They're an agent of this equity injunction. So this is all consistent with what I've been saying as well. Universities, apparently, by her study, were helping produce this. Where they got the capacity blows me away, but there it is. You're watching contractual shifting, moving things outside of what they were telling us. And if you think that Pfizer was contracted by a court case now, she says, and I didn't know, I didn't follow the court cases, I just told you they weren't going to go anywhere. And I told you why. Well, it's one more step, even more why. The DOD had contracts with Pfizer, and that's how they did other things. These entities didn't have to make a product. They just had to demonstrate a prototype. Of what and for what? We don't know. And of what? We don't know. Because when you don't know who the manufacturers are, and there's no standard because they're not products. They're prototypes. They are experimental. They don't have to have standards. They don't even have to follow the standards for production and manufacture. And this is the more insidious thing that brings up another question they do talk about in this interview, which is excellent. I got to tell you, whatever criticism I have is really functional. What do we do with it? What they limit, we need to take beyond and take that ball a little bit further down the road. If you didn't want to agree with me, you didn't want to do the research, you can follow it through her work. I don't care what direction you go. I want you to have knowledge that you understand how to apply it on the ground where you are. If you want to go down this path, go down both paths. Do it for yourself. She shows out that when they do all this and the manufacturer isn't who we thought they were and they're rolling all this stuff out and it's experimental and it's a prototype on something, we understand it to be a gene therapy. And I told you, we don't even know that. She shows us here in the discussion, nobody knows what's in this stuff, just as I told you. You can't know. Even if I thought Pfizer was making it, you can't know because all the ingredients were not told to us. She explains that too. All those ingredients haven't had safety testing. They don't have to. Their interactions don't have to be checked out. So why we are, anytime he talks about safety is really moving off the point here. You're lost in a non-winnable argument. There was no need to do safety because we weren't dealing with a product that could be considered a vaccine. Just as I told you, it's not in the local authority's medical bag. She identifies this through this other track of contracts and what those contracts say, and you hold strict to what those terms are. She has a court case. Pfizer didn't lose. They prevailed in a dismissal that said weren't commissioned to do a product, that vaccine. The error that I think that the interview gets trapped in is they call it a product after saying it's only a prototype. And that confines them, and I want you to read for this, them to the fact that it, even though they know it's a prototype, they treat it as a product that should have gone through some things. Even so, they know that nothing was applicable here. The EUAs aren't over even a product. This is like even one more step removed from what I was saying, which I was great to see. I mean, I don't care how many step back we go, we're going to find it's no good. To her credit, Catherine Watt undug all this contractually. If you don't know that, you don't understand another element why, and this is different than why I would say the federal court side would lose, why the federal agencies aren't being checked. There's no regulatory authority on top of a DOD. This is a DOD action. Why no one stops it for the DOD not coming into servitude of the civil authority, I don't know. However, this is not for me totally because I can't come up with all of it. Again, this is the consent of the governed, if you will, if you please. And we have a very interesting line on how the DOD is doing that attack to us. They're not even using what we even were told, and not that I believed in it. I said these are chemically made, and they are done in the lab, and a lab can make it. It depends on what proteins you string together. That's the interesting thing in this interview. She identifies the way they were identifying the distinction and what comes out in some of the discussions as she kept reading through was there's something about a molecular weight they found between the different labs, whether it's the one in China. I told you, these things are made everywhere. This is the ubiquitous data, DNA, so-called genome, so-called Data Transfer and Sharing Act that came through the Biodiversity Convention, what, in 92 or so. They allowed all the dissemination. I've talked about all this. They don't talk about it in this interview, but they talked allowed all the dissemination of these data to go around the world, which is what you heard they originally said from Wuhan. They shipped data out that were picked up, and the other labs could pick up that string and make their own or make up something different. And so they have a, what's interesting in this one, to my, when I saw it, they look at these things on the protein molecular weight, and they can tell the difference that regard. And so, there you go. There's at least one way to check that this is another synthetic condition, and it has to be. It's novel. They keep saying it was a novel thing. This is all technician lab made. I don't care where they made it. They made it anywhere. It just had a different protein structure, and that had a molecular weight that they can measure, apparently. And this is the other thing. When all these labs are making these different synthetic compoundings, they don't know what's in them. That started to be, because she also identifies, this was an ongoing experiment. We see that, we'll have another tab if I get there, over in Israel, they're admitting it now. It's a big experiment on everybody, but it was more than that. It was an attack. It was a chemical weapon attack. I don't understand it. I don't, you know, certainly can't agree with it, but someone's decided they're in the power system to do so, and so they're going to cause us harm. I don't know where these aliens came from, but here they are. We may be seeing the aliens up front, and we're not protecting ourselves. The molecular weight identifies these proteins that are just protein strings. They have nothing to do with reality in the nature. Nature doesn't make these this way. And what they are is a chemical weapon. She identifies that, and she shows where you could not, and this is what came out in the data, so-called, when the people started to pull together batches, and she talks about chain of custody. This stuff wasn't even a product, a commercial product. It's federal property, she identifies. That made sense now why that accident that happened in some state, or the truck accident, why the federal government jumped right in on it and made sure that that was protected. It's federal property you're getting injected. At the point of injection, it's federal property up until that point. Then I told you it's probably proprietary on the other side. So understand you're not even dealing with a common property. You're dealing with a federal property. That's why the chain of custody is so important anymore here, and why the people who had any of that can be somewhat of a trouble here, but I don't think that's going to go because they would have the right to challenge. But this is a federal property being injected into you, and they don't know what's in it. They don't know the manufacturing quality, and that now says two things, and I'll have a document when we get there. One is they could actually know what they're doing that we don't know, and when we saw the data come out, relative to what batches were doing what harms, that could, and I told you then, this could be how they're testing it. Some could have had saline. They could have anything. We don't even know what it is. They could have been keeping track of what this thing does. You'll hear Netanyahu talk about, oh, he's so proud about how he promoted that with the entire population of Israel. They would do it as an experiment to see who got what with what. But for this, you don't know what you're getting. Not only do you not know what they put in it, you don't know what was in it because there's no manufacturing quality control. And so now that gets us over, and I won't jump too much, what we may have been seeing with the so-called Hydra, which I told you looked like a fungus, with bacteria, with things that don't look quite right. Not necessarily the structures, which could have come out of a university lab, but the contaminants that came with this apparently could be why is answered by this observation that they weren't manufactured and not as a product that had to have regulatory authority. So remember that. They don't have to have regulatory authority if they're an experiment prototype. If this is a DOD study thing and you happen to be a lab rat, well, they've done that. I talked about that before. They did that to people all over the world and to the United States people and, you know, Tuskegee Airmen, all that stuff. Fort Dick, all that stuff. It brings a lot together, this contractual stuff, how they're doing it behind the scenes. And unless you get an insight, you don't understand. What it took, apparently, was someone listening about a court case in order to get interested and say, there's a problem and a confusion here. And she continues a confusion, I don't think is a confusion, once you start applying what she knows. And this is the thing, be careful that we, not a condemnation of what she, her thoughts, when you get into one mind focus, you may not be able to apply what you're doing. And so I'm always hesitant just to say it is anything one way because you may have missed a step somewhere. You may not apply something, and consequence of that can track down in a different way that you were not seeing. she does that a couple times, but I want you to see it, not to degrade what she's done. I have to say she's done a great service to go down the contract side and pull out the contract terms. And then I say, take those terms and apply them at local state law and see whether or not they fly. My interpretation on this is that most of that does not fly. Some may have a question, like the fact of the money, the follow the money, you know, we see it's a bribe, whether that goes through DOD appropriations. Did Congress have the right to do that? I don't think so, but I'm not, this whole condition now got way beyond what I can keep track of anymore, except to try and say, at least the message for you is the message I get, keep everyone focused on where their last and only maybe line of defense will be, and that's local to you, black and white communicable disease code, and you understand this is what's going on, and it just starts to fill more of the what you can bring forward to defend against when you know it's all from a federal thing, from a DOD, you can bring that to bear. What does that have to do with me locally? How are you able to accept this? And so we get down to the near the end, and this is the interview. I'm going to jump over to the Lou Rockwell page, just real quickly go through some lists. But she then gets to the end of this discussion, so called the Five Small Stones. There's a website that you can go to. They offer things like an affidavit of noncompliance. Folks, be careful. I want you to see this stuff. I didn't do it, but that title is wrong. Affidavit of noncompliance to what? Noncomplying with what? You're completely innocent. You have no compliance objective there. There's no duty on you. Unless that notice of noncompliance is with the law. And that's not necessarily an affidavit. You can make it one, but that's your position, and that's what this most important part about this is. You make your local record of what your position is. And the position actually, in my mind, should be whether or not when they come at you, it's part of your remedy and due process that you challenge back that they did everything underneath the due process of the requirements, all the duties of the local communicable disease law, and when they bring out the CDC style, you come and say, that's beyond the legislative intent, and I'm having to add here, as I did before, that if there is a provision now in the law, one of the things you need to say, if there's a provision now to allow an expert that's foreign to the local jurisdiction, the legislature didn't have the authority to allow it, because their jurisdiction is only within the borders of the state. And to bring on, then you can bring on the fact of the fraud that is there. Then you might even have to bring up the process of the failures that go on, but that's a lot of dirty business. Your first initial thing is to say the allowance of a pandemic not recognized within the state was not within the authority of the lawmaker, the legislator to do, and that it needs to be invalidated. That portion needs to be validated and bring you back to where your due process is correct. Let me move over now as time went on here quick to explain this. And boy, I just barely touched the skimmings of that as well. Again, if I sit down and read through this and had a way to make all the notes when I read through this of what's coming at us, we could be here hours and hours to go through this. We don't have that kind of time. I don't have that kind of time. I don't think I have that kind of mind anymore to keep up with all those, and especially when I look out and not very many people are picking this up, and a part of me starts to say, wow, we're going to have a lot of more hurt people despite all this study, despite what maybe Catherine Watts did. Even only her work allows me, with an understanding of what I believe, the proper understanding of application, gets me to what I've told you all this time. Even if I had never heard of anything that I ever understood, just the knowledge of how the organic structure of the United States works, and look at what she said, I think I would still come up with everything that I told you, and she could be the guide. So, again, we're standing shoulder to shoulder at the stinking abyss. The answer ends up being the same, the local record being made, and your non-acquiescence, not because you say so, because you cross your arms and say, I'm not going to go that way. No, you present how the compliance was not met of the officials to due process, to perfect the right of police power of any nature, or any disaster or whatever they want to say. Again, keep track of how they adjust the terms, though, and how they bring in, they purport to make it right, that they what they did. You have to be able to analyze. It's going to be a lot more difficult. I can just tell you it's going to be a lot more difficult. Moving over to the Lou Rockwell site, and thank you again for the link to this. They go through a list of the highlighting, the summary of that interview. And I just went through that on my mind. And looking at this, I now go through they were, I mean, a couple of the things. It is a conspiracy, and that's not a bad word, but the conspiracy to commit a mass murder is a problem. You can have conspiracies, but they're not supposed to be unlawful. And through bioterrorism, informational warfare operations worldwide is the summary of Bolden. And I'm going to suggest to you, just don't say that. You go to Title 50. You're looking for the exceptions. You have to take away that dual use. That's the exception. Gain of function, by definition, is Title 50. Everyone makes a question of this. I think on Twitter, they're making a question of this. Oh, I'm going to tell you how this works. I'm going to be the insightful guru about this. Oh, by definition, this must be this and that, and it must be a bioweapon. Yeah, but it's in Title 50. Don't go off your opinion. Go about the law. And Title 50 required a bioweapon to be prohibited. I think it's Title 18, Section 175, said if you make a bioweapon or produce it or transmit it, whatever, then you have criminal sanctions. None of this is going on. And Catherine Watt starts to touch on why. It's a closed system. We all know that. But I don't know what more to say on the closed system aspect of that. And with this article here, Lou Rockwell, written by Alexandra Bruce, goes through the list, notating the summary of the headlines. So we'll go through some of that quickly again so that you can hear it. And this is premeditated. This is a conspiracy to do mass harm globally. Again, I don't know how we get there, but we did. How they did this. Toxic by design. And this is just go down the headings. You'll see it. And I want you just to highlight on how this would be the C-19 injections. There can be nothing else but toxicity. Here, it's a chemical weapon. I don't know. It's designed. Why would you need safety when you're... This is the other thing. It's not talked about. You don't need safety when your intention is to do a chemical weapon that harms or kills. So that should be pretty straightforward. They comment here, toxic by design, no safety. Right? We wouldn't expect it, but we want to also know that those question and the ability to make a data or to make a report is just a narrative. It's a cover to make it look like it's something. And it's not anything we've ever thought it might be, even translated over absent. Even the chemical weapon part, it was a DOD contracted event, essentially, just like I was suggesting to you, without Catherine Watt's help. This was there to see, and she does identify the 9/11 connection through, and then, as I said, it's going to be the medical martial law, through that softening up the target early on and with the anthrax. No efficacy. Well, why would there be? The efficacy is actually in watching the harms roll out. That's probably what the VAERS is about. They are watching the efficacy of their warp speed attack. Bad manufacturing. There would have been no compliance with the good manufacturing standard practice for products because there is not a product. It's an experimental prototype, essentially, and varying. You don't even know. It could have been some saline all the way to whatever, anything. We don't know. And so the manufacturing, I want to point out again, and I'm going to get to a document you can have and another one. Thank you for the link to this, to see it. A document some doctors put together on all those pictures we used to see what was in them. I want you to think about that document when you go and look at it. About bad manufacturing, we don't know the purities. We don't know the quality of the lab. We don't know what they didn't put in and what they did. But we don't know the contamination that's floating around in the system, how they clean their equipment, how they sterilized it. And then I want you to consider that if there's bad manufacturing or unsanitary manufacturing underneath the cover of a sanitary law imposition, if it's unsanitary, you can expect to see all kinds of organisms possibly, all kinds of things that may be in these products. We just can't know, as I've been saying. You just can't know. And there's no real good test. We don't know what we're doing. We'd be kind of back reverse engineering these things. Malignant policy worldwide. Well, for us in the United States, and it should be everywhere in your communicable disease law, that there was a worldwide policy is the problem. It doesn't have to even be malignant. Just understand that. Don't qualify that everything has to be bad. Sometimes it just exists, and it's good enough to be not good. How's that? I hope you're following that. If it's not proper in a jurisdiction, why a cell wall is important, while your borders are important. This is down to everything you do in a government of limited form, and it's not just in the United States that way when you see the communicable disease law being so consistent. Those are model acts, but they did recognize things like due process. They did recognize that police power can't be wielded without a good reason. What the courts have done is just allow that reason as a prerogative to the government, which is still incorrect. You know, I won't go off that track real fast. I want to, but I don't. We can't. So The good manufacturing practices are not applicable, so don't try to sue on all this stuff as well. You just not, all this stuff is, as I've been telling you, is not applicable. This is not the battle it looks like we're fighting. Everyone wants to talk about how bad these things are. They're a chemical weapon. Let's get beyond it. Now how are we going to stop it? One of my contributions is go to the communicable disease law and say, again, for you, they never made a determination that you were the infectious principal with an infectious agent. Forget the symptoms. Forget the asymptomatic. And now, if you are one found, you still have due process. You got your habeas corpus. You might even view that common law action against the trespass, the assault against you, the false imprisonment aspect, where you show they haven't done all these predicates. We have to do this stuff. There is no regulation. This is not within the regulators if it was done through a DOD process of contract. None of this stuff applies. This is what I've been telling you. But they did bring in what she calls the setup to be able to protect this. That still may need to be able to be challenged when you find out the harm that's happened and what happened to this. And as I've been going through the process, a Title 50 exception is not warranted here. They always do. Premeditated, it had no use. It had no dual use. That was theater two. They talk about the referencing to the other transactional authority to try and circumvent certain things. Ask the question, for those of you that can do this, that want to help, grab the rope tied to the neck of the edifice of power and pull. If you want to do that, go through whether or not a transactional authority can be used to circumvent. Find out how it couldn't if it's not necessarily clear. The PREP Act is brought up. Public health emergency in quotes here. Global pandemic cannot be within a jurisdiction to start with. Okay, that's a private definition. You just got to go through and apply the rules of the limited form of organic jurisdictions across the globe, and you'll find out none of this works. But you also find out this was originated out of the United States. Understand that. So what is other transactional authority? They'll give you a framework. Title 10, that's military, not Title 50, War Department, but this is how the military works, where you find the director of DARPA mentioned at 4022. And so you see what they call these things were countermeasures. What in the heck was the attack but them? The countermeasure to you being a free people is what you can see is going on. That's for you to observe and hold on to if you will. If you won't, I don't know what more to say. You have to have a basis for why you're starting to respond and to expose the color of the fraud, the cover thrown on to this crime against people. They go on again, more emboldening discussion, talking about vaccine development approval. It's a narrative. There was nothing relative to a public health emergency, nothing that a countermeasure can receive an approval for, actually. They're not vaccines. And so you'll see, read and start to get in your eyes what they started to do. And thank you to Catherine Watt. And I would not just hand her the study. You take what she's done and qualify as quickly as you can. She's done all the legwork. Just qualify that most of what she says is correct. And if it's enough for you, move on. This is where the discussion here, the interview in Lou Rockwell's discussion from Alexandra talks about the Wuhan spike that had a molecular weight of 141 kilodaltons, but the one made by Pfizer in synthetic mRNA is 180 kilodaltons. So they can look at this molecular weight for these proteins, these synthetic proteins, which are the letters making up the DNA chain, is all they're stringing together. All fascinating technology. Don't underestimate really where we are with all this, but what they did with all this is certainly not something to be raving about in the support side for sure. I don't need any more. I don't need to hear about any more babies. I don't need to hear any more about the WHO anymore at all, where I look locally and say what these folks, these local officials and the governors did none of this. And therefore, you have no power. I don't even need a court to tell me that. The problem for us is that they're using this formalization, this occupier condition, to say that's our due process. That has to be challenged as well. This has been done. It's not hard. You just point out that the branch, in this case the judiciary, is compromised. How do you do that? Well, they agreed to hand the executive, without review of the law and the compliance of the law, the power. firstly. Secondly, each judicial branch adopted that lack of critical review of the law, whether it was complied with by the executive, and they adopted their own emergency without cause, having no power at all to do so. And this analysis can go a few more steps. I'm articulating that so that as we move into the future, you have the ability to have a word in your mouth, a piece of thing, a notice you write on a piece of paper, and you get that on record. And if they don't answer to that, their lack of administrative response can be enough to kill it for you and the implementation for you as they attempt to try to make quarantine and control and lockdown the very first thing, make you a prisoner of your own home, tax home that is as well. That's why it's municipal. See, tax home is what they're treating you as. That's why it goes to municipal Washington, D.C. That tax has to do with the federal. It's also a status. You're also underneath the bankruptcy and don't understand that until you show can show otherwise. You start to show that with your assertions at local state level. The organized structure of the crime. This is critical to understand. It's not just an idea. No, here's how the thing is organized. This article explains that a little bit, so you can go back to that interview and go back to her work, her blog. You have to check it out. I'm not handing her all the authority at all. I'm saying this is a woman who has done the work, qualify it, and if what you find works, grab onto it and start to use it. Don't just, oh, look how much I know. Oh, now we have a contract. Oh, now we know DOD's on it. Yeah, that's right, but that's not protect. That knowledge just lets them know you know that you had something to do and they're right to continue to attack you because you just say, oh, I see the assailant. Oh, he just killed somebody else. Oh, I see the assailant. He just killed somebody else and someone knew. Oh, now they're attacking babies. That's not going to solve this. Operation Warp Speed. I told you that was all about the Department of Defense. They show, explain in this interview and through this discussion, 29 of the 90 leaders of the chart are not employed by the DOD. In other words, most of them are part of the DOD, and you see the incestuous nature of how they set this up. All the organizations, like a Russian nesting doll, just like I told you. They then talk about money flow. I'm just running through this quick. They talk to you about the organizations that implement the work, the foot runners here that do all the work around to keep people off the trail of what's going on. Again, I say this, and Catherine really did a work to really pull this all through. She reminds me of my friend who's now dead, who got attacked by the system when she found this stuff out and dove in wholeheartedly into this whole thing on her level at the state and the violations there that you'll see. And she did the same type of work as this Catherine Watt did. Amazing. Just amazing amount of tenacity that it takes. People who decide that enough's enough. And the shame, in a way. I don't want to say point fingers, but the shame that no one else really recognizes it or makes excuses, makes all kinds of excuses about how that may not be. Again, vilifies. You're the asymptomat. Oh, you study the law. Oh, you're one of those. You're the conspiracy theorist. So I think I understand now. The conspiracy theories are now 30 or so to zero against those that would challenge that the conspiracy theory was untrue. In other words, the so-called conspiracy theory is true. It was a ball game 30 times to zero on the other side being the story. And if I understand right, we now have been given license, and thank you to Elon Musk, we now can proceed that science actually means that we question the science. Without his input, without going the old is new again, as I tweeted out, I guess we would never have understood that science is the continuing question of the science. We now have a license through Twitter to go ahead and challenge that science. Right, that means the epidemiology they called science is challengeable. And I'm saying don't challenge the record. Challenge that it meant anything. And we can know it didn't mean anything for you or your little ones or your loved ones or your friends, because nobody has the determination and the fulfillment of the execution of local law for you. That's how we end up stopping it. They offer you some notices. Be careful on what you find. This is a very important interview. Thank you again very much. I found a lot of information here, maybe mostly for confirmation. It gave me food for thought to think about where they fell a little bit short, but that will not stop how the federal is making it look, a narrative they have the power about a public health emergency, but it's actually a cover for a chemical weapons attack that the DOD is on contractually an instrumentality for through organizations set up to do that in private people, in private organizations. That's the organization. So not only do you have a conspiracy, you have the organization and how they've done it, how they set it up to be able to make it look like they could do it. And so let's get over quickly. What about what's in those vaccines and what they're doing? The document was sent to me to read. It's a PDF. You can get it. What is in the so-called COVID-19 quote vaccines? Part one, evidence of a global crime against humanity. Dr. A. Hughes, PhD. I was fascinated by this. I wasn't really more interested in the compilation of the information. He's very careful to explain what he's doing. He's here to show you what's out there that shows there's anomalies in this stuff. When you hear what Catherine Watt found, now it makes sense to me why all this stuff is anomalous. They don't have quality control, and they're not expected to be vaccines. They're not expected to be what we think as right-thinking people. Oh, this is a consumer adaptable type condition for something that really exists. No, we don't have it. They don't care about, there's no need. You have a chemical weapon. You don't have to have, the only thing they have to manufacture correctly is that it does harm. So it can have all kinds of nonsense in it, and you might be actually seeing that. You see some of the effects of what it does. You also see some of the critters that might be in there, and now reasonably so. The structural stuff, I don't know, that might be university technology that we periodically touch behind the woodshed. The point being, now we have this document now made itself important to show us pictures that researchers are doing to say, what is this stuff? They don't know, but they know what, they can take pictures of it. We get to see it. Now it makes complete sense why nothing makes sense. We're trying to, not me, but people are trying to make sense of this, and it was all a setup. It was all a lie. This really is a global experiment. A bioweapons attack started by the United States and furthered by every country for whatever reason. And we can go back through the WHO, not the Rock Group, the WOW, or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization control and connection to all the countries and all the leaders and then the world leaders and the Great Reset and COVID-19 being that for the economy and destruction, right? You debt slave, and then you track and trace slave, and you digital slave. The digital gulag that they're setting up, you now have a more better basis to understand it is a military situation. Even if it's COVID's just an instrument, the narrative is just an instrument, they're getting us into that next what? That technocratic future where the total spectrum dominance sits to control whether or not they just want to watch or whether they want to mess with your life completely and endlessly. So we see now a document that a doctor put together everything that he could find at the time. All those pictures that we saw of those things. Now, if we see a hydra, I don't have much of a hesitation to say that looks more like a fungus. And it's because of the bad manufacturing somehow. Someone didn't care even to make sure that the vaccine was a vaccine, or they weren't commissioned to do that, or that the mixture was clean and sterilized. They didn't need it to be sterilized. In fact, the more you got, the better. In fact, maybe they've added it because it was part of the batch that they wanted to see in your region when they disseminated that, why there was a chain of custody of a federal property, not a commercial product, but a federal property until it got injected. And the crime against interfering with that process because this was a governmental attack. Whether or not the Congress actually set it up to let it happen, I think they may have set up to make it look like it could happen. This is what goes back to what I found in 2013 in a state, how they put pieces and parts of legislation in, it gets passed, and then it gets assembled. That's why an omnibus bill is so dangerous, which you've just heard recently. The omnibus bills are death to a protected system. They allow all kinds of things to come in to solve all kinds of problems, and then you see they don't even review it. That is the telltale. There's a serious attack going on. Forget the stupid money behind it, which you just saw, the trillions. 1.8 or something trillion, 7.85, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Inside an omnibus bill, inside bills that fire into a legislature that looks and enacts parts, there's someone behind the scenes, and you can see the players behind the scenes that are waiting for the legislation in parts that they assemble over time to give them the power to, as even Catherine Watt saw, they instituted Operation Hindsight 2020, as I said, in 2020. In January, it started to come in. So I can't say more here. This is right on. We need to understand this is there. We need not to make excuses for it. We need to look a little bit closer on function. We need to then say, where are we inside this function? Where are we going to be able to stand? Because if we don't have the objective basis, I don't know how we survive, actually. There's no place that anybody could not be vilified, be called a name when you say, no, and you don't have a black and white to say, but you don't have the right to call me names. And when you did, it's defamation. It's whatever. It's an extortion. It's a coercion, whatever. You don't have that basis. Saying I have rights, I have due process isn't going to be enough. you have to point out where the black and white says that was required and that they don't have a record to prove, to show cause that they did that. And therefore, they don't have a power yet. So they, if they don't have a power, they can't implement all this stuff that they want to say extends all the way to the WHO. What else is in these? We've heard this before. Now another report comes forward. Cancer risk associated with the recent receipt of vaccines contaminated with simian virus. 40, epidemiologic research. I just touched base. This is the simian virus in polio, but they're finding it throughout wherever it was used, this type of SV40 contaminated polio virus. Again, it's supposed to be, you think it's supposed to be a quality control. Well, it is, to hurt people. Another link here, cancer risk associated with simian virus 40 contaminated polio vaccine. They talk a little bit about it in the abstract, and they come up to the result, the conclusion, relative to these different things that goes on and the different rates of morbidity that goes on or health harm. The conclusion, though, is that these data suggest that there may be an increased incidence of certain cancers among the 98 million persons exposed to contaminated polio vaccine in the United States. Further investigations are clearly justified. For you, my dear listener, wonder why the cancer rates have been moving on, particular to this, and we find this little story, UK doctors warn of biggest cancer crisis coming on to the UK. Well, also go back to the charts and say when we got the injection, there was these increased morbidity rates and there was increased mortality rates. CDC, I think it was there, just came back and explained that. Now, the NHS over in the UK, this is global, folks. We don't know now these vaccines have claimed to be safe. What the courts have said is unavoidably unsafe. And I made a comment to someone in Twitter. Think about that term, unavoidably unsafe. That's a due process killing subjugation. Unavoidably unsafe? You can't even avoid that treatment? Totally in disregard of local communicable disease law, as I've read it. So you have to be very careful what these judges, so-called, are doing and maybe why, when they come up with this thing that we've been given injections over time that have various vulnerabilities built into them and known to be so premeditated. When I see UK doctors, one of the biggest cancer crises are coming up, they're blaming their system. And yes, I guess UK does have a problem. I don't know if they have an ongoing nurse strike or not. I didn't go back and look. But they're saying that cancer is going up. They're seeing staffing shortages. They have insufficient diagnostic capacity. What is this influx coming in? Not just the fact that maybe so many millions got this polio vaccine, which, again, UK is where this stuff started. I think 1853, do a research on the history, but that it now is a jump. Don't just jump to think that it was just the injection because the vaccines may have had this all along. Why? Because they needed to irritate your immune system. And that's as close as they could get at the time. They may be doing it synthetically now. I don't know. But so there's just a consistent jump here when cancer becomes a potential problem for us. Going back to the experiment the experimenting, I have a link to Twitter, a very interesting statement. Netanyahu, Israel became a lab for Pfizer. I include this. You need to listen to his words. I don't do justice when you see what this guy thinks about what he thinks this is a great thing that he pitched, having the whole state of Israel behind the scenes pitched Pfizer to make Israel a lab in order to get the complete data from a complete state to be the benchmark for the world that the Israeli government, the Zionists, could actually use to market to the world. He thinks that's a good thing. All right, so you got to understand the psychopathy behind here. It's just maddening in a way to watch it, that this has actually been agreed to. He thinks this is the thing that should happen. You should put your people underneath what you assume is the proper protocol. But you're actually looking. You've got to listen very carefully. We want to see who responds to what. Oh, not by the party, not by the patient, but generally. What do they respond? What ailment do they come up with when we give them this injection? A stunning, stunning admission here. You just need to hear it. These people, these officials, aren't here to help any of us. When you break down Israel versus the Zionism political condition, realize that's also in the world, running in a way the world, then you understand that this is really, commercial oriented, and these folks want to be the leader of the commercial, the smallest entity that has the greatest impact on the world. And what they're doing, we heard the Pfizer guy tell us, these weren't ever made to be vaccines, actually. And I don't remember what those lists are. You can find them. I posted a couple. But another inside moving in now, you hear right from the horse's mouth, if you will, this set it up to be a lab in Israel. It can't be anything else anywhere else. That ties us back into the VARS system, what they're monitoring, that they're monitoring, why they don't claim to, they claim to be monitored, but they don't because they don't have to. But they are looking to see the efficacy of a bioweapon, not the efficacy of a vaccine that they never intended to make. The disconnect is shown in another link here, what was stated by Pierre Corey, who's an MD, MPA. This might be my all-time favorite Joe Rogan moment, where he has Peter Hotez, which I commented on last week, I think it was, talking about these things. Inadvertently, and Pierre Hotez inadvertently shows the world exactly what's gone wrong with our medical system. Part of it is that he's not healthy himself. He admits to it. He's a junk food eater. He promotes his, I mean, you can almost see the joy in his face. Well, I have a son or something who's got autism, and he's vaccinated. This guy agrees with vaccinations. He doesn't even see the inherent problem with that. He's not someone who thinks forward about his health. He doesn't really look that way. He admits to all this stuff and that they don't know. I mean, they just kind of move along with the narrative. He agrees that we have other alternatives. Anyway, you just need to see what people in the system who are telling you you need to get a vaccine actually think for themselves. And there's no care at all about what they need to be doing for themselves. It wasn't for thee, not for me. Totally disregarding what might happen. And I want to add more things here for you to look at. Again, these vaccines just generally. Just happened to run across, I accidentally clicked on an ad, didn't realize it was an ad, to a lawyer group. It happened to be a vaccine injury lawyer group. I thought it was going to be explaining something in the context of a link right before it. It was actually looked like it was together. But this ended up being pretty interesting website. They explain the difference between what is actionable in these vaccines, what type of vaccines are, and what aren't. And I thought that was interesting. You need to see this. Why? Because if you understand what you don't have available to you under vaccine injury, if you think you're going to go that direction, you're going to need to know whether or not you have a relief or not. And there's all kinds. You go on this webpage, and there's all kinds of stuff caused by these vaccines, these unavoidably unsafe. Folks, just avoid them. Find an alternative if you can. Yes, there's a couple things you might benefit from. And the most worst risks of meningitis or something might be one. But other than that, wow, maybe find ulterior methods. But you find all kinds of problems with these vaccines. They will cover some and they won't. I want to give you the list of the ones they won't, because some of this is in your communicable disease law. Vaccines that are not covered by the NVICP program, or you are ineligible for the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and the top of the list is COVID-19 vaccines, they call them. But we know by the research that they were prototypes of experimental solutions, right? They weren't products suffering a manufacturing quality and exchange type system. Pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccines meant for older adults, herpes zoster shingles vaccine, rabies, anthrax, smallpox, yellow fever, tuberculosis. You got a whole section, big section in the communicable disease law for tuberculosis. A vaccine treatment for that they'll promote is not coverable for this compensation program. And then typhoid fever. So before you folks are looking at making those, to avoid those things through vaccines, maybe look at this list and see what you can and can't if you're going to be considering vaccines. It's known that normal so-called vaccines, even if they want to be called vaccines and do what they supposedly do, are causing harm. Here we get back to risk management. And this was the interesting thing about like prostate cancer. They now realize if you have prostate cancer, maybe it grows so slow most normally, if I understand this right, it doesn't cause a problem. You die, but your old age comes on you before that cancer. You don't have to necessarily be so worried that you're going to die from prostate cancer. And so this is the kind of, you got to look at what's the risk of an operation in that regard versus not. And you find that depending on the status of that cancer, may or may not allow you to just go and live your life. And this is the risk management. And so I want to just note that that was important more than to say, when you're faced with a medical decision for yourself and a treatment, you have a say. And you try to look down the road a piece and look at the reality behind it. This other thing they did publicly, this thing under color of a public health emergency. It was a complete organized criminal syndicate running a bioweapons attack on us. The fact when they said that there was no prevention and control by the use, that should have sealed it for everybody. This is a bioweapon. You have to have that dual use. By definition, it's gain of function if it's coming out of the DOD. It has to have the dual use to not be prohibited. That's what that record was being made all this time. It had to be prohibited. It had to be dual use. And so these are self-evident. Like the word novel means patent. It means it's not natural, not organic. You don't even have to think hard. Those things you put into practice now, those are definite non-starters for you. New poll finds COVID vaccines are not safe. Estimated 12 million Americans report major side effects. I wonder why, folks. I'm glad more people are seeing it. It won't be enough to be knowing this and to be shy, though, folks. I don't know what more to say to show you. They intend to do more, this contagion thing that they're practicing. I told you that they've got a couple of unknown things hitting the kids. They highlight the kids in Afghanistan. There's a couple more contagions that just hit the news that they're in a flutter about. That this needs to be in your vernacular, what I've been telling you all these years with Catherine Watts shows you there's an organized syndicate underneath that goes through the construct of plausible lawful government. You'd have to parse that through as well. I say, at least first, quickly get back to your state law and say, you can't do all that. That's not applicable. You haven't done five things here, local official or governor. That the Rasmussen polled four-question survey, and be careful, all these questions are probably, sometimes they can be loaded, but Rasmussen poll said 1,000 Americans found that 32% were not vaccinated, and 7% of those surveyed had a major side effect. That's a huge number on top of that. Doesn't sound like much. But the 32% was a little bit encouraging. It was far more than they were saying was 20-25%. There's a lot of us out here that just didn't buy it. I'm not saying we just don't be vaccine averse. I'm saying you have a reason for why the treatment, whatever it is not applicable. Then it's not the preferred consent that you want to do. You have an alternative. Even if that's not to take anything, go through it on your own in an isolated place, which is that quarantine answer. That's likely the last answer, depending on how you proceed through this and depending on what you're said or suspected of. So you have to have a suspicion of that, not a presumption of a suspicion or a presumption of a suspicion of a presumption. No. There has to be something tangible there. And so then this brings me on to the idea, as people are not coming with this, they're not agreeing that they're safe. It has nothing to do with safe. They weren't vaccines. This was a bioweapon attack. You shouldn't be, there's nothing safe about a bioweapon attack. You shouldn't be happy about any of that. We should be more constraining our activity and our thought to stop it. The Rasmussen poll doesn't attach that, does it? It doesn't ask that question, does it? It probably never will. What we do have behind the scenes in the Senate is that a bill proposed, and I don't know where this is at, it was proposed in the middle of the 2022, the requirement of any convention, agreement, or other international instrument or pandemic prevention, preparedness, or response reached by the World Health Assembly to subject the Senate ratification to. In other words, this bill says the Senate has to agree to a treaty. Well, that's by, of course, but this is specific to the World Health Organization. My concern with this is that you saw the Democrats win the Senate. This would just allow them to make an approval. The problem is, the thing that I believe you have an essay is you tell your senators that they don't have the right, notwithstanding this bill, whether it goes in or not, they have no right to circumvent the state power. And if there's a bill, it's that they will wreck any treaty with anything, any organization, well, it should be with a state, not a non-governmental, will be to recognize local communicable disease law, local health laws requiring due process and the fulfillment and faithful execution of the duties upon an official. That's your federal law. That's what that should be doing, not this. You'll see a bunch of Republicans agreeing with this early while they had control. They won't have control now. You can watch how you write a bad law and how you set it up for your teammates. Red and blue team working together, the uniparty, as we're being told. How you set that up is done right here. You see it. I can't see how you know how you avoid it. So this is how they move this thing on and how they keep tumbling the people up, and the people aren't stopping with what their knowledge is. then we see clearly it's coming. There's some impetus from the federal, but it's executory by the DOD and agencies set up and agents set up with the DOD and with the private, this fascism, corporate public partnershiping, and the right to do other transactional authorities, right? So you watch how they pull this together. When you see that they're doing it, you can just start going down the track that that's what they're doing. Otherwise, it's not there for no good reason. Now, moving over to another war in the world, it kind of moves on and on with the United States. I have been trying to get to this. It's something that's festering. It's actually pretty diabolical what's going on there. It has all the same earmarks when you do the study. We're moving now over across the world here. Again, because of the global attack on the health and where this settles, this area and why Russia became important, what the Ukraine was and all the bio labs, we get to that at the end of this string of links. But let's go over, and I haven't heard anybody talking about this, a very serious incursion in Serbia on the verge of war with Kosovo. It's being fomented by the United States and NATO. Kosovo conflict is part of U.S. EU-NATO broader plan aimed against Serbia and Russia, says experts. I'm just going to touch base. I think we need to watch. Again, these are informations that we use to put together to watch how it gets done, that it's being done, and we can cut right through the narrative and see what to expect as we watch, again, the bullies of the world try to get their way, and we see Russia saying that we've had enough and doing the things it takes to protect themselves. I'm not saying that to say I fully support Russia. I'm saying that anybody in this war has to defend themselves. And you have to decide where that defense is going to be. And the COVID thing, the narrative, the color of a public health emergency was primary for us to be able to do that as people. And very few are taking that up. And we're still missing. I'm watching people just completely miss it, think they have the answer. They don't have a clue what's going on. These are people that are positions of authority. But NATO moves on to Kosovo. NATO announces military exercise in Kosovo. Okay, the United States went over there in the 90s. There's an ethnic condition going on. This is another attack, another affront, trying to put the footprint of NATO inside the country there. Totally, just like Ukraine, and we have a little bit of that. EU stories that people analyzing for this, the lies that are perpetrated. EU-Serbia relations look like a marriage starting with adultery, Russia said. The Brussels are Belgrade, are a bright future while committing anti-Serbian provocations. As they move this thing in, little stated with Ukraine cover, it's all moving in. NATO is pressing on the Russian borders and not giving credit to what Russia expected or agreed to in the past. And that's what I see Russia saying. You had no right to do it that way and this way. We better do it some other way. And NATO keeps pressing. The European Parliament and Qatar scandal is just the tip of an iceberg of corruption. This is now saying that the EU, who is supporting an attack through Kosovo and Serbia and attacking Russia, they have their own corruption. They aren't the white hats. The condition that went on over there with the parliamentarians being kicked out immediately, there's no presumption of innocence apparently there at all, that shows that the European Parliament is a corruption on its own. And I think it was maybe Poland, no, probably Hungary, the President Orban came out and said, no, we got to get rid of this. You have to dismantle the EU. That may be coming, folks, as this thing is being dismantled. As Kosovo applies for the EU membership, you see another step forward as this is going on. It's the same progression that's been going on in Ukraine. And we can, to my mind, when you watch the premeditated measures, keeps going back to my mind that we can't disregard these premeditated measures. We may think it's news over there and it doesn't affect us. They're doing it to us at home. It's global now, this usurpation of power. I don't even know where. I say DOD. Who are these folks, actually? Actually, they're committees inside that are made, and they've figured out how to cook the books, how to money launder their condition in order to gain the power to do this. And there's no check or balance now, they think, and the federal judiciary is willing to oversee that because they give the executive carte blanche power authority without checking it. And that was explained in COVID. Court delivers first war crimes verdict. I found this, all these stories now coming out about Kosovo. Former militant commander Salahi Mustafa has been sentenced to 26 years for atrocities committed during 1998 to 1999 conflict. But this was like a setup for a takedown. This is just to try and give the court some legitimacy. These conditions in these courts and all this infrastructure mobilizing to make it look like it's a normal thing is what I want people to see in these tabs, going through this to watch the premeditated nature of it. And then you have to consider if it's premeditated and they're violating laws and all these other things and borders, and maybe they're unconscionable in their mind. Maybe they're evil in their whole bearing. And maybe we, the people, should not agree as we see Russia envoy. Again, we got to look from their standpoint. One of the complaints that is now being seen is that all the news coming out is only from the West side, not adhering or not giving any credit to the Russian side. And you can't do that. There's just no way to do that in these situations. But the situation in Kosovo resembles Ukraine. And this is the one that caught my mind. Yeah, let's look at Kosovo. They're firing it up. They're not talking about it. And maybe it's time that we do, in fact, look at these things. Because why? What do we get back to if it's looking like Ukraine, Serbia is the same way. Russian Defense Ministry names new senior participants in military bio program in Ukraine. Bioweapons technology. Bioweapons, particularly after Slavic people, they got blood samples, all right? They've been taking the DNA, right? Those swabs, they get all this information and they use it against you. We have more news of the evidence of the Ukraine, that the United States is moving things out of Ukraine relative to bioweapons and putting them in other places of the world. U.S. moving bioweapons research out of Ukraine, Moscow says. Unfinished projects are being relocated to Central Asia and Eastern European countries, according to the Russian military. Agree with it or don't, as you will. This is what's going on. I've told you, I've had the memory hole in the Twitter about the Luger thing in Georgia, the Luger bioweapons lab. All that sits there to be done. They've denied, denied, denied. Now they're moving. That's an admission. You can't not listen to Russia, what they're saying at this point. What are we doing there anyway? U.S. spies push Twitter to censor anti-Ukraine narratives. Propaganda war. It's not even news at this point. Everyone just shrugs it off. This is a method. This is a method. They did the propaganda war, the narratives against you in the Covey swindle. And most everybody bought it, and those that didn't, most of those folks didn't step up to insist on the due process to make that the example of what was supposed to happen so this won't happen in the future. And I think that's what I'll stop at right there. We watch a method of attack on an innocent, essentially innocent people. The people are fodder. They don't care. The United States is a bioweapons, one of the tools that they use is bioweapons. If we can't see the DOD did a bioweapons attack on the American people and the world, global condition, in league and in conspiracy with a non-governmental organization, I don't know what more to say about us as a people. Like I said in the Twitter, what's the biggest enemy, the worst enemy against the United States citizen? My answer is the United States citizen. We are not stepping up to our obligation that the system was made, explains to us as required. I hope something I said inspires you to get involved. We really have to do something against this, not just for yourself. Protect yourself, because I think it's on its way at us again and again. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips, or nature willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.